The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Ingrid.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. My name is Ingrid. I'm an alcoholic. Wow, it's really such an honor and a privilege to be here for two reasons. First of all, this is my home group. And second of all, because this is not my first meeting, but it's the first meeting where I officially decided to commit to the program, get a sponsor, and really get sober. So I'm going to start out by saying I was never a childhood drinker. I was actually very against it at the time, and never in a million years would I have imagined turning into an alcoholic and actually being a member of AA. But anyways, even in high school, I didn't really drink that much. I had my first drink when I was about 15 years old, and I started out as a social drinker. It was just kind of here and there, and when I did, it was never a lot. I had a lot to be grateful for. I had a pretty decent upbringing for the most part, although I always found something to complain about. But both my parents were really, really nice people. They stayed married. We lived comfortably for the most part. And I was well taken care of. Graduated high school, graduated college. But fast forward to my sophomore year in college, that's when drinking started to become more of a ritual, whether it was a monthly or weekly basis. And it was still more fun of games, but I always felt like my parents sort of sheltered me and I had to make up for lost time in a sense, if you get what I'm saying. So anyways, unfortunately, my mom passed away when I was 19 years old, so I ended up having to transfer colleges. I went away, so I moved back in with my dad and had to finish school somewhere close to home where he lived at the time. And in a way, my mom wasn't there to tell me, no, don't drink, because she was the stricter of the two parents. But by the same token, I missed her, and that my grief had sort of taken on the form of, drinking away the pain. I didn't want to feel those negative thoughts of loneliness or depression. And my dad had sort of his own health issues that had to be tended to. And when I was 22, I was a senior in college. I'm still living with him. He had another stroke, and I wanted to be there for him and take care of him. But it was just a lot more work than I expected it to be. It was almost like having another child, and or a child, I should say. But so I really felt a lot of pain because I hated to see him deteriorate and watch him suffer. And I was just always in this constant state of anxiety, like, oh my God, is he okay? Did he fall down? Did he take his medicine? Did he not take his medicine? Did he take too much? And the drinking just seemed to sort of quiet that pain. And it was during this senior year that my alcoholism really started to progress and take off. And I was at that age where, you know, the rest of my peers started to kind of settle down or at least be able to control their drinking, and they were getting their lives together. And I acted more like a college freshman in my senior year than I did when I actually was a freshman. So that just goes to show you, like, how the progression really set off. And I don't know, like, I was under a lot of stress and in a lot of pain. And for lack of a better term, my boyfriend at the time was very uninvolved in my life and was just not present. And I was just, you know, I drank over that too, because I felt unimportant. I didn't feel adequate. And it's like, okay, just drink it all away. Drink, drink, drink. It's going to be a good day no matter what. Then sure enough, when I was, this was after college, maybe about a year later, I really suffered my first major consequence as a result of drinking. And it was kind of a mini wake-up call saying, like, maybe I should slow down a little bit. But I was on my way back from a wedding, and I got my first DWI. And it was the most humiliating experience. I was in the gown, makeup, hair all done up and everything. And they took me to jail, and I'm, like, arguing with the cops. Like, can't you see I'm such a good person, you know? Don't take me to jail. And they're not going to listen. And I just remember, like, making obscene gestures into the camera, like when I was in the jail cell, just to tell them how I really felt. And then I got probation because there were some other complimentary goods in my purse at the time. So I got, like, charged twice. And I was really upset because I was so anxious and ready to move back to New York. And I really hated where I lived. And I'm like, you guys are hindering my progress. You're like really messing up my life plans. So sure enough, my dad's health continued to get worse and worse, and we ended up having to put him in an assisted living, and there was just a lot of guilt surrounding that decision, and he ended up passing away. So after all was said and done, after my probation was over, I made the great move to New York. I kicked that guy I mentioned before out of the house, so there was no drama in my life. I didn't have the caretaking. I didn't have to deal with this guy's nonsense, and for the most part, I was at home in New York where I belonged. I had nothing to escape from. I had no reason to drink, yet I still felt something was missing or incomplete. And I thought since I was able to stay away from drinking on my own for a long period of time, I'd be able to control it this time. And that wasn't the case. So it just got worse and worse every time. I got arrested again. I did sort of like the mini geographics because I either quit a job if I foresaw trouble or couldn't hold on to the job that I had. And, you know, I had this dream of being a business owner, but just because the alcohol clouded my mind so much, I really, you know, couldn't stay motivated. So one day I woke up with, you know, just a typical hangover, and I looked at myself in the mirror, didn't recognize myself, and I didn't like the way my life looked. And I'm like, I need to make a change. So something in me decided to reach out to a therapist who specialized in substance abuse. So I called her, and after the first few sessions, she's like, well, have you ever thought about going to an AA meeting? And I said, how dare you? That's for people with real problems. I don't belong there. And I just thought the idea was like so lame. And, you know, she's like, oh, I was too young to be a member. And she's like, just try it, you know, try to keep an open mind and see what happens. And I wasn't happy with what I saw the first time. And I was kind of going in and out of meetings whenever I felt like it, still drinking, not working a program, no sponsor, no steps, nothing. But then my last drink, I was at the beach with some friends, blacked out, lost my phone, fighting, cursing, stumbling, just a lot of stuff that I don't remember. And that was just a regular night. And for that to be a regular night is pretty sad. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to another meeting and see what happens. And it was this meeting. And sure enough, like, I still didn't want to believe that I was an alcoholic. And there was a part of me that wasn't ready to get sober. But I met my sponsor here after the meeting, and she sort of recruited me, and she just sort of sensed that I was desperate and needed help. So something inside me just said, yes, just go with it. And my plan was to work up till step 9 and then quit because 9 was scary. But by the time I got there, I was like, you know, these are all my new friends here. You know, I really like being sober, and I never imagined my life would be so full and so, you know, happy. Like, I just never thought that was possible, because the idea of a life without alcohol was just sad, in my opinion, at one point, even though it was really getting me nowhere in life, and I was compromising my health in so many ways, ruining my reputation, and it's like, it just wasn't cute anymore. So thank God for this program, and I'm really happy I found the Atlantic group especially. Once I started going through the steps, you know, I realized, like, who is the real me? And I can tell you, I'm just comfortable in my own skin. I'm the most authentic version of myself that I've ever been. And, you know, it's really just a matter of living life on life's terms without having to pick up, thank you, a drink or a drug, just to get by with life. And I couldn't do it on my own. And the bottom line is that I was too afraid to ask for help. So if you're new, don't be afraid. I really encourage you guys to stick around, because it's done miracles in my life, and I've seen the miracles work within other people in this room and, you know, in the other groups as well. So with that being said, I finally started sponsoring someone else. And it's all of you guys that keep me sober. And, you know, sponsoring someone else is really like taking recovery to the next level. And it's just such an honor and such a blessing. I know that God was looking after me the whole time. But most importantly, God, it really, getting sober was really my opportunity to rekindle a relationship with God that was always there, but sort of got lost or wasn't a priority over the years. So thank you guys once again for having me. And I want to thank Marla for asking me to speak. Have a good night.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Okay. Got sober January 14, 2011. I have a sponsor who's in this group. This group's helped me stay sober, and I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm a native New Yorker. Yeah, that's awesome. I got my fake ID in Times Square. I was able to chalk my IDs, and I was buying beers at my free periods in ninth grade. That's what it was about. You know, I don't know who I was impressing. I was by myself. It wasn't like I was with a group of people buying a Colt 45 or whatever we were buying because it was cheap and the pizzeria was ready to sell it, but I was ready to buy it, that's for sure. High school was, you know, let's make friends, let's smoke cigarettes, and let's do whatever we can to get messed up and try to get through school. We went, I got through it. Hard school, whatever, did it. Went to Syracuse for school, for college, same thoughts. I thought I was going to be on radio. I thought I was going to talk to people. I thought I was going to just be the next Howard Stern. And I'll tell you right now, first semester mathematically eliminated me on that thought. But I was going to do it my way. I started trying to go on the radio. I started trying to do my own show. The next thing I know, I'm showing up for half an hour, walking out of the studio saying, who needs to do it like this? I'll just do it my way. And that was so true for everything that I did. I got through school. That's great. Started doing internships, interned for, it was originally a classic soul station, but it turned into another station that was hip-hop. It's not Hot 97, it's the other one. And, I'm driving around, and I'm a little messed up. And they're like, hey, can you drive this DJ here? And he knows that I'm messed up, and, we had a good time, and I was drinking on events and driving that the car back, and that internship ended, not with me getting credits. I worked for another station that does classic rock, and that one, I was driving over to the Nassau Coliseum for an Aerosmith Lenny Kravitz concert, and that thing looked like Cheech and Chong was handling this van. Well, someone called up and was like, hey, your van is, like, insane right now. It's the Magical Mystery Tour over there. And I'm, like, total lies. I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe I had a cigarette in traffic. Like, well, don't smoke. And I got through that. But once again, left contentious, right? That was a bad part. I said, radio's not for me. I got other things. Wanted to do anything else. And I'm trying to find a job. I'm trying to find a place to be, and I'm interning here and there. I'm a professional intern. Great. And I find myself at a desk job at a real estate office, and the next thing I know, I take another job for real estate, and I'm working for myself. Great. My hours, my time, no money, 27, at home. If you want to feel like the world is hitting play, and you're hitting rewind, be an alcoholic in real estate. It's a really good idea. But that was my life. I was watching my friends get jobs, move out of their house. People from New York, people from wherever, build lives. And I wasn't able to build a life. I wasn't able to do anything. I was just getting, you know, more upset with my parents, more upset with my friends, holding on to resentments, getting upset. Thursday night, that's my night. Friday, that's mine. Saturday, that's mine. I deserve these. And I would just get destroyed, right? At my house. Can't go out anymore. That costs too much. I'm now buying... I got no money, right? So I'm buying handles of Smirnoff, putting that down. Half a handle of a weekend, no problem. I had other things in there, and I was just off to the races. One friend drank, one friend smoked, one friend did other things, and I was all three. I was an alchemist, making the perfect thing happen. And I don't know how this happened, but I meet this great girl. And I don't know how I got out of my house to do that. I go, meet her, 6 months into it, just like any relationship starts getting a little bit more serious. And she says to me after a crazy night where she has to go take finals for her MBA, right? And she's like, please don't have anyone home. And I'm like, don't worry, we got this. No one's coming home. And we go out, couple sakis in, I'm blacked out. And they go, we're going back to your place, right? I'm like, of course we are. 12 deep, into my house, crazy party. She's upset. I have something in front of me that no one should have in front of them. And she says to me, what's that in front of you? I'm holding a binder over it. I'm like, nothing. And she's like, lift it up. And I'm like, oh no, this is trouble. I immediately black out for the rest of the night. I call up my friend. I don't remember anything, but I call up my friend. I go, something feels wrong. What's going on? And she said to me, Amy left. She was really upset with you. And you told everyone they have to leave. And you were really upset. And I was like, okay. I called her up. She goes, I'm so upset with you. I'm going to this final. I can't believe you did that last night. I'm talking to you after. Oof. All or nothing kicks right in. I'm trying to figure out how to intercept her into the final. To have that talk before, I'm so sorry. Because I can't have people upset with me. That is something I still struggle with, right? Oh my God, someone doesn't like me. Ugh, I freak out about that. We have a conversation, and she basically, it was the first clear mirror in my life, where she says, you're a mess, and that you can't be in my life. And I was like, I can change. And I didn't know what that meant. I've never thought that I had a problem until someone told me I had a problem. It's the end of the year, so I go into a New Year's resolution, no more drugs, right? I'm just drinking. I'm just going to drink. No problems here. I go into a week of sports. Syracuse, Seton Hall, blackout. Go to watch an NFL playoff game, blackout by 6 p.m., go to sleep by 8, and that went well. Monday, I had a business meeting in Williamsburg, and I'm nervous. I don't want to meet this landlord. And I don't know what to do. And my friend comes walking down the street. He goes, they're selling 2-for-1s at the Abbey right now. And I'm like, really? We go in. I watch the full episode of Adam West Batman with the Riddler and half of the Penguin. I was like, I'm getting a little too messed up, guys. I got to go home, right? Polish off a bottle of wine, go to sleep. The next day was a blizzard. And then Wednesday was Syracuse St. John's. I go to that game with my dad, Amy, her cousin, a colleague, and a friend of mine from college. And we're all at Stout, big sports bar. I'm not drinking. For whatever reason, I'm not having a drink before the game. All of a sudden, Syracuse puts the hurt on St. John's. We're talking like 11-point lead, and we're killing them. And my friend comes to me and is like, we're going to the Billy Mark after this. Now, if anyone's gone to the Billy Mark, they know that's the last hole that's left in New York City, all right? And I go to everybody. I'm like, all right, who's coming with me? Amy's got work. Her cousin's got work. My colleague's got work. My dad's got work. My friend doesn't have work. But we're going. I'm drinking Miller High Lifes and tequila shots like they're running a special on them. I go into work the next day. It's a game for Rangers. I love hockey. And it's 3 o'clock, and I'm just getting annihilated at Teddy's. And my friend's like, it's so great that you're not doing drugs. How do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. You know, sober as a bone, right? 3 gin, Jack and Ginger's deep. And as he goes to the bathroom, my bartender comes to me and says, sober? And I'm like, well, who doesn't drink? And my bartender says, I don't drink. I haven't had a drink in 2.5 years. My bartender 12-stepped me. She said to me, here's my number. What's your number? I'm going to call you tomorrow. We're going to go to a party. It's called Northside. She calls me. I had a couple drinks on Friday after that. And, you know, I had one at lunch. I had one at 5 o'clock. I had one at 6:30 at Calexico. I had a jalapeno margarita. That was my last drink. And then we go to, she goes, you ready to go to the meeting? You ready to go to the party? I'm like, sure. She introduces me to two guys. The second guy says to me, do you know how to read? I go, of course I know how to read. And they go, can you please read how it works? And in front of 200 people, I read how it works, shaking. You remember that. You know, there's people in this room that remember that meeting. And I've never had a drink since. I went to the Royal Oak after that. I didn't have a drink since. You know, I've been to this meeting. I've gone to all these meetings. It's been an incredible ride. And, you know, now Amy's my wife. We're, you know, she's pregnant. We're going to have a kid. It's crazy. If that's not an example of what it was like, what happened, and what it is now, I don't know what to say. Thank you.